Okay, hi. Welcome to week three. Okay, so let's see. I still have some apps that are closing. Microphone is turned up. Okay, so let's get started. Let's see, present from beginning. Oh, and of course, I need to share my screen, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Okay, here we go. Google Chrome. All right, so I'm going to read this long quote to you. Or you can read it yourself, but you can read it with me. And it comes from the novel Middlesex by Geoffrey Eugenides. And it says, "Emotions, in my experience, aren't covered by single words. I don't believe in sadness, joy, or regret. Maybe the best proof that the language is patriarchal is that it oversimplifies feeling. I'd like to have at my disposal complicated hybrid emotions, Germanic train car constructions like, say, the happiness that attends disaster, or the disappointment of sleeping with one's fantasy. I'd like to show how intimations of mortality brought on by aging family members connects with the hatred of mirrors that begins in middle age. I'd like to have a word for the sadness inspired by failing restaurants, as well as for the excitement of getting a room with a minibar. I've never had the right words to describe my life, and now that I've entered my story, I need them more than ever." I love this quote. When I saw it, I'm like, yes, this is it. This is it. And this is going to be the basis of what we're going to be doing today. So, let's see. Oh, wait, stop. Why? There are my notes. Where are my notes? Pow, where are my notes? Okay, oh, yes, now I have them. Okay, now I'm ready to rock and roll. So there's our quote for today, and here's our introduction. So our video today is called The Emotional Submersion Process, Part 1, and this is Video 1. So I'm giving you this week's lecture in two different videos because you may want to watch the second video, which is a step-by-step process and demonstration again. So I thought that by breaking things up, it would make it easier for you to access it if you want to use it in the future. Also, I know that it's easier for you all if the videos are broken up. So this is the lecture portion. And the second video is the step-by-step demo. So you're going to hear me just over the course of our time together. You're going to hear me talk a lot about emotions. And I'm going to be holding you as a spiritual life coach, I'm going to be holding you accountable to a really high level of emotional awareness because you cannot teach what you do not know. And your job is to teach people how to feel their intuition, how to connect with spirit, how to know themselves, how to be authentic. All that comes from knowing your emotions. Your intuition is directly connected to your emotions. So here's a little warning. If you have issues with emotions, if you feel squeamish, resistant, or fearful to the point that you don't want to work through your squeamishness, your fearfulness, your fear, then you're going to want to maybe consider that this is not the right vocation for you, because you're basically going to be having to deal with people's crap. You're going to have to see a beautiful woman who has herself together. She walks in to see you or sits down in front of the camera to see you, and you know, she's very well put together. She speaks very clearly. And she comes to you with an emotional problem. Let's say she has an issue with being able to move forward in her career, or maybe she was passed over by someone more junior for an important position, and she wants to have a breakthrough. And as you're working with her, you learn that as a two-year-old, she was constantly molested by someone very important to her, father, brother, uncle, sister, teacher, anyone, grandfather, can be anyone. So this is an extremely uncomfortable situation when you think about it intellectually. When you connect at the heart, it becomes even more painful, because this is where all the compassion and the feeling is. The thing is, people are dealing with heinous stuff, and you don't know what people are dealing with. You're going to be surprised. I'm surprised very often by what I've seen and heard. Even now, with as much as I've seen and heard, I'm still surprised. So your job as a spiritual life coach is to allow your surprise, but to stay strong in your knowing and your spiritual connection. That's our job, to be there so that we can help people process these heinous things that have happened to them. All right. So, as a life coach, you're going to need to be an emotions whisperer. And that's what we're going to work on today, getting you to be an emotions whisperer. All right. Okay. I've just seen that I have a lot of heat on my face from the sun coming in. And now I'm in shadow. So we're just going to roll with the heat on the face. I don't know if you can even see me. Maybe you can't even see me, because I'm not sure of how this recording works. So I don't know if you can see me or not, but here I am. All right, so I want to start off by asking if you've ever stopped to think about the vital role that emotions play in your life or in the life of a community in general. So why are emotions so important, and why in the heck does Crystal Lynn like emphasize this thing with emotions so much? Emotions act as a roadmap that can help us know the truth of what is going on inside of us. So, so it's really logical to think that your brain ought to know how you feel. Of course, we think, hey, why don't I just ask myself, how do I feel, right? But actually, our minds have their own thinking process, which is always influenced by the past, and it's usually aiming towards something in the future, and it's got its own story. So our minds don't always live in the present moment. But our emotional self does always live in the present moment. Our emotional response system is connected to our heart, and the heart is always free of space and time. It doesn't have, the mind has a time mechanism in it, right? 1 minute, 1, 2, 3, 4 seconds. Right? It has the ability to think about today, tomorrow, whereas the heart is always just now, feeling, connecting, breathing. Yeah? So the heart is free from the limitations that the mind imposes on reality. So if I say to you, how do you feel? The mind says, well, I'm out on the street and I don't have time to get into a conversation. So the mind says, so I say, how do you feel? The mind says, I'm fine. How are you? Right? The heart is like, oh my God, I'm so happy to see you. Or the heart is, oh my God, I'm so broken up. Oh my God, I feel so low. I feel heavy. But the mind is like, I gotta feel good because I'm in public. How are you? Right? This is what the authentic voice technique is about. The exercise you learned in the last module. So it's about learning how to be authentic with yourself, to know what your emotions are, and to understand that your emotional self is actually is a vital active part of who you are, not just your egoic thinking self. All right. In fact, our emotions are the primary way that spirit and those beyond the veil communicate with us. So emotions and our feeling nature are the key to our intuition. They help us see what lies beyond logic and rationality. For example, I remember sitting down with a woman doing a tarot reading, and I read one of the cards indicating that this woman had a responsibility in a situation that she needed to explore. And she immediately began telling me that I was mistaken and that none of the things that I was saying applied to her. And basically, she's like, no, adamantly no, you're wrong and your cards are totally wrong. Now, believe it or not, out of my 20, I think I'm now at about 23, 24 years of card reading, tarot card reading, I've never had anybody just outright say, no, that's totally off. I've had people say, I'm not sure if that resonates with me, but that's been about the amount of adamancy that I've had, right? And I'm very open-minded when I'm reading my cards, so being open-minded to my interpretation, I said to her, okay, let me just sit with this for a moment. And so I just closed my eyes, and I was hit. I got into my body. I closed my eyes, and I got into my body, and then I was just hit with a jolt of the fact that she was lying. And I said to her, you're totally lying right now. You are lying. And I'll never forget the look on her face. And she was very shamefaced. She was so, like, caught. And she's like, you're right. You're right. And then she said, I can't deal with it. You know, it's just too much. I cannot deal with what you're telling me to say, to deal with, right? And, of course, being, you know, not just a tarot reader, but also, you know, coach, I said, well, I can help you deal with it. But the thing is, my intuition was spot on. Yes, my tarot cards were right, okay? But then also this kind of, you know, in the face of someone who says, you know, you've got it all wrong, and me in the position of, no, my gut says that I'm spot on, and my instinct and everything is just, you know, no, you're lying right now. So that was really powerful for me. This is another reason why your emotions are really important for who you are, because you're constantly confronted with situations and people and things that are going to be contrary to what you feel and what you think and what you know, right? Even within yourself, you're going to see things that, you know, contradictions within yourself. Your emotions are going to help you find your own interpersonal emotional truth. And this is the next one that's so important, is you need to make decisions, or it's not that we need to, it's that we do. We make decisions based on our emotions, whether we like it or not. When we don't pay attention to our emotions are still active and influencing us. So when I have an emotion of inadequacy, and I have to get up in the morning and go for a run, and I'm wondering why I can't get out of bed and why I feel so sluggish and why I'm feeling a sense of dread, but I'm not listening to the emotions. All I know is that I'm sludging around, you know, and I'm having trouble getting out of bed and my body hurts. If I'm not listening to my emotions, I don't know that the sense of dread is there. I don't know that I'm having an emotional reaction that's messing with my run, you know? Whereas if I pay attention to what my emotions are saying, then I can go forward and, you know, enjoy my run having brought my emotional self forward. And actually, there's two stories, because that actually takes me into the next reason, which is that it influences the behaviors and the actions that we take. You know, like having those kind of really dark feelings, you know, might actually make you not go out. So if I don't listen to those emotions that are churning inside me, saying I don't want to go running, I feel inadequate, then what happens is I won't go running, because how can I move forward when I feel like I'm going to vomit, you know, or I feel like I'm going to fall, or my mind subconsciously starts picking up things and starts putting these irrational fears out there. Internally, my emotional self feels vulnerable, like I'm going to hurt myself, but and my mind subconsciously is starting to get signals that the world outside is dangerous. If I go running on the street, I might get hit because there are no sidewalks where I live. So now there are a bunch of irrational fears that are coming up. The whole idea of maybe not feeling like I can keep up with people. Oh, I can't keep up. I'll slow down the group. I can't go. So all these things are triggered by the emotional state. And emotions are incredibly motivating, and they can push us to do things. For example, a fear of failing a test might make you study harder so that you can actually have success in this way. So negative emotions like fear can actually promote you to do something that's very positive. Emotions can also trigger a life-saving physiological response, such as fight or flight, when there's some kind of an imminent danger. For example, you know, fight or flight. You know, you're walking down the street and a very handsome and respectable Italian man walks up to you and he offers you his heart and love. And it's a totally, totally appropriate response for you to panic and get the fuck out of there, because fight or flight, like love, is so dangerous, right? That's my sense of humor. That's my self-deprecating humor, because this is the story of what I've been going through. Lovely offerings, lovely opportunities, and just like, ah! Get me out of here. So going back to what I was talking about earlier, emotions can bring your needs. They are bringing your needs, your true needs, to your conscious awareness. And as you've seen in the last weeks, when you're triggered, this is a way for you to know that something is pushing up, is rising up inside you that needs to be addressed. It's going to help you know the truth of what's going on inside you, not just emotionally, but also subconsciously. And so I'll leave it at that for right now. And lastly, emotions are really great for helping us to communicate our truths, our authentic selves, to other people. So, for example, when my little dog, the other night I'd left my dog, I went to the opera, and so I could not take Apollo to the opera, but he's not accustomed to being left at home alone. You know, he's okay because he's just going to go sleep, but he don't like it. And he let me know when I got home that night at like midnight. It was after midnight, maybe close to 1 o'clock. And, he just was like just dancing around with the tail wagging and the whimpering, you know, this cute whimper he does where it's like, oh, you know, like, oh, like you left me. Oh, you know, I'm here. And you were gone. I was by myself. And oh my God, it was horrible. It was horrible in my bed, sleeping with a bowl full of food and water, safety, security. Oh, just kidding. Don't want to invalidate his feelings. But still, though, what he was doing was communicating to me his need for reassurance. You know, dogs are pack animals. He needs to be reassured that even though he was left alone, he's a part of the pack. And, of course, I came home and I gave him a big hug and rubbed him down from head to toe and took him for a little walk. And then we had midnight snacks together, and he was just so happy. So you'll recall from our last video that we had 6 ways of dealing with our emotions. And I'm going to give you a quiz right now on what those are. Yes. Haha. Did I just trigger you? Did your eyes roll back in your head as you thought, what the heck, a quiz? Did you just go into panic mode? Don't worry. I just want to give you a chance to use the power of your recall to give a brief description of the 6 ways that we process emotions. So don't worry. It's not a written test. You don't have to, you don't even have to participate, but I think you should. So this way, you know, you're going to have an opportunity to kind of start talking about these ways of processing. So the way this is going to work is I'm going to give you either a word or a definition, and you're going to give me either the definition or the word that goes along with it. So it's going to be easy. So here we go. Here's our first one. So what is the unconscious stuffing down of feelings? What is that called? The unconscious stuffing down of feelings. If you guessed repression, then you guessed correctly. All right, here's the next one. What is expression? What is expression? If you said something to the effect of, expression is when the emotion is expressed verbally and through body language, it can also be acted out in group dynamics, then you would have guessed correctly. And here's our next one. All right, here's the definition. Avoiding inner awareness to keep our feelings from emerging. Pursuing other activities to avoid being alone is called what? So what is it called when you avoid inner awareness to keep your feelings from emerging, or you pursue other activities to avoid being alone? If you said escape, then you are correct. All right, and here's the next one. What is denial and projection? So just take your time and think about your answer for that one. What is denial and projection? So my definition for denial and projection is, instead of feeling the feeling we have, we unconsciously deny it or we repress it. And we experience the feeling by projecting it onto the other person. So it's as if the other person had the feeling, but in reality, it's just us projecting it onto them. So the mind will search for and find reinforcing evidence of its own projection. Blame is placed on situations and things outside of ourselves because of projection. We maintain our own sense of righteousness by projecting our negative and dark feelings onto other people. Violence and aggression are good examples of denial and projection. All right. How about this next one? What is it called when you consciously stuff down your feelings? This is when you know that you are having a feeling and you consciously choose not to express it. You don't necessarily deny it, but you definitely make a conscious choice to not let it out, to not do anything with it. What is this called? If you guessed suppression, you would be right. All right, and here's our last one. What is neutralizing a feeling? Neutralizing. If you said something to the effect of letting go of a feeling, then you would be correct. So we don't dump our feelings onto another person. The energy behind the feeling is given up and the pressure is decreased, right? And actually, I've written that backwards. It should say that the pressure is decreased, right? And this is what we're going to learn how to do in this emotional submersion process. The pressure is decreased and then the emotion is surrendered. All right, so how did you do? If you scored 100%, great, congratulations. If not, don't worry. The more you observe your own triggers and the more you begin to talk about this kind of stuff, the easier it's going to become to use these terms. So just keep on practicing and it will come. I know that for myself, I couldn't actually distinguish between these things very well. It did, for whatever reason, when I first learned about this, when I first read about this, I'm like, some of it I could get, but like denial and projection, I couldn't really understand the mechanisms. Repression, I didn't get. And I certainly didn't understand how to neutralize. So you're going to learn how to neutralize your emotions. Anyway, so all of this is to say that don't worry if you don't get it all right now. It's going to come because we're going to keep using this information. And so there's just one last thing I want to do before I get into the process. And I want to give you something that's really important. If you'll remember how at the beginning of this lecture, I said, that you have to know your emotions. You have to be an emotions whisperer, right? Well, here's the tool that I'm going to give you to help you identify your emotions more easily. All right, so this is my sense of humor coming through again. I don't know, I thought this graphic was really, really cute. But it actually is not all that helpful. But I just think it's really cute. Like, oh, I'm red and angry. And then it moves up to sad and then meh. And then I'm okay. And then like, yeah, I'm happy. I don't know. I just think it's a cute little graphic. All right, moving on. Here's your real graphic, okay? This is called the Junto Emotions and Feelings Wheel. And this is an image that I give to my clients to help them learn how to communicate their feelings. Now, I'm going to go in a little closer. So this wheel has at its center six primary emotions: fear, anger, sadness, surprise, joy, and love. And it's interesting to kind of look at how they have this set up, because we can see that it uses fear as the starting point for the darker emotions, and then it ends in love, right? So it's just like you have fear at one end of the spectrum and love at the other end. And if we go back to this little face emotional scale, we could say that over on the far left, we have we've got fear, and over on the right, we've got love. All right, going back to here. All right, so that's what we have at our center. And then if we go to the middle ring of emotions, we can see that each primary emotion is given another set of more sophisticated and descriptive emotions that help you to understand the primary emotion even better. And then if you go to the outer ring, you'll see that it has been, you know, quadrupled. There are like many more words now that are helping you to broaden your vocabulary or your understanding of this emotion much more creatively. I know this is really small, by the way, and don't worry because you can, I lost my notes. It's really small to see here. You can have a copy of, there's a copy of this on the curriculum, so you can catch that there. All right, and I'm going back to that quote again that I read, and I want you to now, just even in taking what we've learned so far, I want you just to listen to this quote again. Emotions, in my experience, aren't covered by single words. I don't believe in sadness, joy, or regret. Maybe the best proof that the language is patriarchal is that it oversimplifies feeling. Pay attention to this patriarchal part, because we tend to think of the egoic self as being the rational, logical self that tries to hold on to a rational, logical story. That's a very patriarchal way of being, right? So when we try to simplify our emotions or to invalidate our emotions, and we move into that rational mode of trying to make things happen a certain way while we deny how we feel, that's very patriarchal. So just finishing up the quote here, it says, I'd like to have at my disposal complicated hybrid emotions, dramatic train car constructions that say, happiness, the happiness that attends disaster, or the disappointment of sleeping with one's fantasy. I love these. I'm sorry. I can totally relate. I'd like to show how intimations of mortality brought on by aging family members connects with the hatred of mirrors that begins in middle age. Awesome. I'd like to have a word for the sadness inspired by failing restaurants, as well as the excitement of getting a room with a mini bar. I've never had the right words to describe my life, and now that I've entered my story, I need more. I need them more than ever. All right, and so I just really think that Jeffrey Eugenides is very right about the oversimplification of emotion with just one word, and it does help us to have, you know, a whole variety of words that can help us understand the emotions, and also, you know, the ability to expand our creativity and to bring the truth, the real truth, out in these situations, and bringing those to ourselves. All right. So this is the emotional wheel, and I strongly suggest that you study it and try to use as many of these words as possible in your interpersonal work, right? And you're definitely going to want to be able to draw upon these as you get more and more into the emotional submersion process, right? All right, so let's go ahead to the next step and look at the emotional submersion process, part one. And hopefully by now you've had a chance to watch my completion process with Teal Swan, and you've read the mood melting excerpt from Frank Kinslow's Beyond Happiness book. What I'm going to show you today will draw upon the beginning of the Teal Swan video and that entire mood melting PDF that I had you read. And then in the next lecture, you're going to work more with the end part of that Teal Swan video with the completion process. So in mood melting, Frank Kinslow describes a process very similar to what I'm going to show you now. The goal is basically the same. Our aim is to neutralize any negative emotions. And it's best to begin this practice in a triggered state. So you can start from wherever you are on the emotional scale, but the best place and the easiest time to do this is when you're triggered. Now, it doesn't have to be a hot trigger, you know. You don't have to be whacked out crazy, you know. Oh, hell no, right? But you do want to be, like, ready to feel, right? For example, I'm going through some changes here with my residency permit, and I'm having challenges, and it's making me bring up all my internal processes. And even though I'm not, you know, walking around like Captain Kirk, kicking things, on the inside I kind of am, because I'm frustrated, I feel weak, I feel helpless, all these kinds of things are going on inside. So the key to doing this practice successfully and having a good time with it is going to lie in your ability to really to be able to get your mind engaged as well as your body. So you're going to use your mind to trigger your emotions, and you're going to use your heart and your body to feel them. So you really have to practice being present in yourself, using your mind, not your mind using you. And I'm going to repeat that. I want you to learn now how to be present in your mind so that you are using your mind, not your mind using you. All right? I hope that makes sense. It's going to make sense. It's going to make sense. So you are going to be using your thinking process to activate your emotions. And then you're going to stop the thinking process and drop into your body to feel the emotions. And I want you to always remember that emotions are energy in motion, right? So you're going to use your mind to activate your thinking process, and then, I'm sorry, you're going to use your thinking process to activate your emotions, and then you're going to stop the thinking process and drop into your body to feel the emotions as they're rolling around your system. So you're going to do your best to stay in your body, feeling your energy as it waves and rolls. Now, I want you just to take a look at this image that I have here, where you have the woman on the left has a relaxed mind, where she is experiencing the unfolding of what's happening inside her by using her breath. She's sitting there, she's meditative, she's curious and patiently waiting. There's not an active, it doesn't look like she's thinking. It looks like she's meditating or allowing or receiving, right? Now, the woman on the right, she's demonstrating a mind that is actively seeking something. The conscious mind is leading. You can see from the strain on her face, she's trying to make something happen in her mind. So you've got to use your mind and your body in a very masterful way. And this is why I like you all doing a regular meditation, because your meditation is going to help you master your mind, right? So again, you're going to use your thinking process to activate your emotions, and then you're going to stop thinking and drop into your body like the woman on the left, right? And you're going to stay in your body, and you're going to look to feel the energy in your body as it waves and rolls. So when your mind comes in, so I don't know how you experience energy in your body, but this image very accurately describes how I experience energy in my body. There are pulses, lights, strains, flows, twists, connections, you know, risings, waves. There's this kind of movement. It's energy in motion, and I can feel it in my body when I pause and quiet my mind and just tune in. So your job is to understand and to kind of feel this energy in your body where it is. And this is just about learning and practicing, right? So when your mind comes in to try and analyze, critique, or judge you, I want you to very gently use your breath to pull away from your mind and to come back into your body so that you can really experience the emotions. Remembering that emotions are energy in motion. So experiencing the emotion as opposed to thinking the emotion is key to neutralizing and freeing yourself from its overwhelming presence. Your meditation and yoga practice prepare you for this, as I said earlier. This is another reason why you have to practice regularly, so that you can prepare yourself to manage and to heal yourself. And your mind can become like a really finely tuned instrument that serves you, not that drives off and creates its own stories, driving you crazy. So in the emotional submersion process, you must strategically use your mind when you first start the exercise. You're going to use your mind to stir up the emotions by diving into your trigger, right? So any emotions that are stuck or latent or hidden are going to get activated. Once the emotions get going, you're going to stop thinking and you're going to drop into your body to experience the effect that the emotions are having on your body. So as you connect to the energy in motion in your body, the awareness of your emotions is going to arise in your consciousness, and then at some point you're going to be able to name them. But do not try to name your emotions from your mind. Don't think how you feel. Allow the emotion to show itself, to reveal itself through your body, through your feeling, through the energy, and then move forward. And let's see. So don't leave your body to go into your mind and to start thinking about what emotion you're experiencing. Don't try to figure it out. And I'm bringing up these pictures of these women. Be like the woman on the left. Stay in the experience of the emotion and allow the emotion to tell you what it is. Don't go like the woman on the right. I'm going to look for this. Let's see. How do I feel? Okay, I feel tension in my stomach. How do I feel? Nope. Don't use your mind like a hound dog right now. Instead, be more receptive, more goddess-like, and allow the emotion to arise. So you have to feel the physical sensations in your body, and you have to feel the energy in your body. This is the actual healing process. You have to let the energy tell its story on all levels. So you're going to experience the emotion and then let the name of the emotion arise from the energy. Let the energy in motion name itself. Let it reveal its name to you. Your mind is going to, most likely, your mind is going to go for one of the basic six emotions in the emotional wheel. Anger, fear, sadness, blah, 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 right? But if you actually experience the emotion and you stay with it, you might find something much more sophisticated and informative. For example, when the mind chooses the most general term, for example, sad, that becomes like a coping mechanism, it's a part of that kind of patriarchal, logical thinking that wants to suppress the feminine, free-flowing, expansive, intuitive way of being. So this sadness, you know, choosing the most simplified expression of an emotion, this oversimplifying is a way of invalidating, denying, and deflecting the pain that's actually going on. So sad, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not opposed to being sad. I can feel sadness. However, you know, when you say, how do you feel? I feel sad. Okay, that's a little childish and a little easy to push aside. We can take that for granted, you know. Oh, you'll get over your sadness. But in this image, if you go and you find that actually the word that's coming up for me is devastating, that's something I can't ignore. When, you know, if your kid, you have your kid, and you say, how are you? And your kid says, oh, I'm sad. And you go, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. You know, like, oh, let me give you a hug. And then if your child says, I'm devastated, you kind of go, what? And you go, what is happening? Why is my child devastated? You know, it's just huge degrees of emotional depth and understanding. So, so your job throughout this process is to allow your body and the emotions to speak to you, not for you to dictate to them what they are, right? So your mind can observe, but your conscious awareness must stay with the energy in motion as it moves through your body. Another way that you can strategically use your mind is to help you reactivate your emotions when you enter a state of numbness or apathy. So very often in this process, you're going to encounter an emotion that feels like numbness or stasis or nothingness or apathy. Don't get confused and think that this is not good or that this is somehow an invalid emotional state. Like people all the time say, I feel nothing. And I'm like, yeah, well, how does that feel? They're like, what? No, it's nothing. I'm like, no, nothing is something. How does nothing feel? Right? So these emotions are actually super powerful cover emotions. They're like big coping mechanisms because something underneath them is much more significant than your subconscious mind thinks that you can deal with. All right? All right, so the next thing I want you to, oh, sorry, I want to make sure, let me make sure I get all this out here. So instead of giving up, right, because this is something that can happen. When you feel nothing, you might think, okay, well, I'm done. I don't feel anything now. No, not how it works. You don't give up. Your job is to sit with and experience the numbness or the nothingness just as you would any other emotion such as grief or anger. Sit with the numbness for several minutes. If it breaks and you find yourself in another emotion, great. But if it doesn't break, then you can gently take your mind back to the triggering event and think about the event to get your emotions moving again. So here's where you are using your mind to bring yourself forward. And by the way, I want you to remember to do this process as often as you can on an empty stomach. I know it's not always possible, but having an empty stomach is going to really help you. It's best not to do this after eating because the food and the digestive process can cause too much distortion of your sensations and can distract you actually from the emotional feelings, you know, the emotional sensations. And also food is a great way to step down your feelings so that your emotions are subdued because you've suppressed them. Also, please do not do this exercise lying down because your mind is just much more clear when you sit upright with your back straight. So as you go forward with the exercise, please understand that your discomfort is your salvation. So the more uncomfortable you are, the more success you're going to have with this exercise. If you're willing to stay with the discomfort and not allow your mind to snatch away what's rising inside of you, you're going to have so much success and your life is actually going to transform in extremely powerful ways. So we're going to get you ready to go into the step-by-step process, right? Where you're going to learn how to truly neutralize your emotions. And the step-by-step process will be in the second video, but I'm going to give you the prep for this now. So, oh, yeah. So you should probably set aside about 1 hour to 90 minutes for this process. And ideally it would be when you're totally triggered and ready to have a breakthrough. If you're just mildly triggered, then you can spend anywhere from 10 minutes to 30 minutes. If you're not triggered, I don't want you to torture yourself trying to drum up emotions that, you know, just you're not in the mood to deal with, or maybe spirit doesn't feel like you need to deal with it right now. But when you are triggered, everybody's saying you need to deal with this. So this is a great time to do this. So then set aside 90 minutes. So if you're not triggered, set aside a shorter amount of time, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. But if you are triggered, you need to give yourself plenty of time, 90 minutes. You need a quiet place where you won't be disturbed during this time. And if you want your household to take you seriously, consider letting them know that you won't be available in advance, you know, or just hang a sign on the door. Have your journal and pen handy, and maybe even consider printing out your Junto emotional and feelings wheel. And to make this more sacred and ritualistic, you can make yourself a cup of tea or have some water. You should probably also have a box of Kleenex. You need to have a box of Kleenex. Imperative. You're going to need that Kleenex. Make sure you have it. You might want to also set up some essential oils just to kind of make things, to help you relax a little bit, to help you feel supported, make you want to stay seated longer. And you can definitely light a candle or two, right? All right. And I strongly suggest that you say a simple prayer to ask your soul to help you dive deep into healing. So for example, you can say something like, beloved soul, I am ready for a breakthrough. I am ready for transformation. Guide me on this journey. And remember to feel this plea in your heart and it will come to be, because your feeling is your prayer. All right. So that ends our video, the first video for the emotional submersion process, part one. The next video is going to give you step-by-step instructions with a live demonstration that will help you understand everything better. All right? So I'll see you in the next video. Bye for now.